Welcome to another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And the NHL draft has come and gone, and there were a lack of a lot of things. There were a lack of forwards taken by the Sabres. There was a lack of trades around the entire league. But that did not mean it was a boring weekend, to say the least. Obviously, it kicked off on that Friday night with the good old Rasmus Dahlin finally officially becoming a Buffalo Sabre, though everyone knew it ever since the draft lottery.
Yeah.
But the Sabres, they go 6 picks, 5 defensemen. Kind of makes you wonder the damage that Tim Murray did to the defensive prospect pool.
Not really.
It makes you wonder a little bit, right? I mean,
no, because the reason I don't think so was Bottrell said it himself. There were forwards that they wanted to take, but by the time their pick was up, those forwards were gone. So they went with the next best guy available, and in this case, most of them just happened to be defensemen.
All right, so
I think it's just a matter of chance in this case. But
hey, if you're going best player available, I'm not going to argue that logic.
I would imagine at least all of their day two picks were all best player available.
Yeah, and
at least according to them.
And obviously, it started with number one at Rasmus Dahlin. You know, the guy who we've gotten very familiar with over this past year because of how bad the Sabres have been, and then Howard and Jeremy saying, getting all these guests, getting dialed in for Dahlin.
Mm-hmm.
Brayton did a great job getting all of these guests in for Howard and Jeremy, and it went from there. So it starts with Dahlin, and then first pick of the second round, pick number 32, Mattias Samuelsson, U.S.-born, Swedish name, Swedish father, so the comparisons don't stop for Buffalo being pseudo-Sweden. The Sabres draft their only forward of the draft in center Matei Pekar from the USHL back in the fourth round. But then after that, 3 straight defensemen, 2 more of them Swedish. Linus Lindstrom Kronholm, and then Miska Kukkonen, the Finnish defenseman, and then William Worge Crew. So all D pretty much in this draft class for the Sabres. And Jason Bottrell said something last night that kind of has everyone thinking, neat. Which is why he hasn't touched any Canadian Hockey League players. He says in the later rounds, and this is being specific, case specific here, in the later rounds, taking a CHL player doesn't make as much sense because of the fact that
you only hold their right for 2 years.
You get the rights of a college player or a European for 4 years.
I think there's some variations to it, but he is right, because you got guys like 2 guys who the Sabres could have signed who played in the CHL, Brandon Hagel and Wojtek Budek, were both taken in, between the 15 and 16 drafts.
As a matter of fact, Budek ended up being put back into the draft.
Did he get taken?
He did not.
Oh, there you go. But they were taken a couple of years ago, and Sabres elected not to sign them, and there you go. Whereas you see a lot of their guys who they took last year, too, who don't really need to be signed until a couple of years from now. I think the only exception to that is Jacob Bryson, who needs to be signed, I think next year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also because of his age.
Yeah, and again, you look at this, though, and the quote that he said, like the things that he said about that are very interesting because of the fact that it shows a little bit of a semblance of a plan.
What it does, too, is it gives you more time.
Yes.
It gives you more time to...
And he also said these are for the later guys.
Yeah.
Dahlin, slam dunk.
Yeah.
Obvious that it's going to happen. And then Samuelsson, I mean, hey, you think the guy is going to be your best bet in your second round pick? Well, then take him. So there's a lot of discrepancy there. He could have took someone from Canadian junior there, but he didn't feel the need to have to.
I don't think he needed to as well because
he saw Samuelson as the best player available.
That, and this was also a weaker draft class this year. Samuelson probably in most years is not the first pick in the second round. He's probably a third round pick, maybe a late second. In most years, this was a weaker draft class overall this year. It was very top heavy with Dahlin and Svechnikov and Zadina, who surprisingly went six, and those players. But once you were out of pretty much like the top 12, it really tailed off in terms of overall talents. So a lot of those even mid to late first round picks, those are guys who probably, if you put them in like the 20, and especially like the 2015, the 2013 draft class, even the 2016 draft class, those are guys that go in day two. And these are guys that were first round picks.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, I could see that. And really,
so I think Botro knows that. He understands that. But so he's going to go with the guys who are either playing in Europe or playing in or about to play in college. So because of that reason.
So he gets more time with them. He gets to see how they're developing and he can figure out a plan from there.
And he gets to see if you find it. And, you know, you might find a diamond in the rough.
Exactly. And I'm sure this is going to go ahead and make people nervous about the fact that, oh, no, college players are going to not sign with us once they get good and everything. Look,
honestly, I don't want to talk about it.
There's overreaction to everything.
We can not talk about
including
it.
Including the overreaction of the trade that they made, which was they didn't value the depth of this draft class so much that they traded their sixth-round pick.
Why are people upset with that?
Because they
because they could have gotten a fifth?
People seem to think that the Sabres did Toronto a favor there. And no, that's not the case. They're just punting on the round because they don't see anyone on their draft board that they want.
They literally said, we had a couple guys that we like, but we feel we could take one of them in the seventh round.
Yeah.
And so what's the point in drafting in the sixth then?
And that's understanding value.
Sure.
Something that you didn't see from the
last September. Plus, now they have three extra picks next year. Along with what they have, they have two extra picks next year total.
If it's a deeper draft class next year, that's enough validation for me. How's that?
I just think if there's not a player that you want to take, then just also, get a pick next year and try it again.
Also, bros, it is the sixth round.
Yeah, it's also the sixth round. This is the sixth round of the NHL draft. This isn't the NFL, where that sixth round pick can make the roster.
But even a sixth-round pick in the NFL doesn't tend to make anything happen.
But sixth-round picks in the NFL will tend to, you know, are more expected to at least make an impact. Some kind of impact, right?
Yeah.
More so than the NHL. When was a sixth-round picks in the NHL, how often do they become something? It's very low. I saw one comment saying Brady was a sixth-round pick. I'm just like, yeah, but that's football. That's the NFL. And then I saw, like, Datsuk and Zetterberg. I'm like, yeah, but luck has a habit of doing things.
Chris Baker, by the way, getting so, so much strange comments. To the point yesterday that he had to send out in a tweet, Buffalo, you can nitpick draft picks all day long. This is the one year you can simplify things. You got Rasmus friggin' Dahlin. That's a great draft.
Yeah.
So, again.
It didn't matter who they took in day two. They got the best guy.
They got the
best guy. Like,
and not to mention, if Matthias Samuelson turns into something, hey, that's another depth defenseman down the road.
Yeah.
Take it. And Baker seems to love the Samuelson pick, love the Picard pick, who was the USHL Rookie of the Year, by the way. So, breathe easy. Calm down. Things are not bad. It's life. It happens. Just calm it. It's all right. Things happen. No big deal.
I think a lot of people just didn't like the fact that they took a majority defenseman too. They wanted to see them get wingers, but once again, when you're in a weaker draft class, just go with the best player available, and it just happened to be defenseman.
Or, and here's the other one. Maybe you go ahead and look at the fact that the NHL draft, you don't often get players coming in right away other than your first rounder.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, which is, that's Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah. He's really good at the hockey thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, like, people that get mad at this stuff, it just baffles my mind.
It just shows where their mindset is with the team. No matter what they do, they are still upset. They are going to be upset until
this. It's not even that. It's
It's literally what it is, because guess what? People are still upset that the Sabres don't have any good wingers on the team. According to them, that they don't have good wingers besides, you know, besides obviously you got Reinhart and Oposo. They're still upset that there's not enough wingers to get to for Jack Eichel to dish the puck to, or to dish the puck to Jack. And they're like, "Yeah, great, you got Dahlin, but who's going to play on Jack's wing?"
Dahlin.
Stop. But that's
Am I wrong that Dahlin could get the puck to Jack?
You're not, because that's going to happen a lot.
Exactly.
But it's a matter of who's going to be on his wing.
We good.
Is that what people don't like? Is that they haven't gotten anyone who could. That's the problem. And that's their problem.
That is a they problem, yes.
Because I don't think that those fans realize that they could have taken a couple wingers in this draft. Are they going to be on Jack Eichel's wing next season? No.
No.
100% no.
Oh, or in 2 years?
Probably not.
3 years?
Maybe.
Hmm.
And that all depends on who. And that all depends based on who else they bring in. Because guess what? Guess what happens starting next week?
There's your segue.
Free agency. Yeah, there's a segue. Yeah,
that was natural, Frank. I'm giving that a solid 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, thanks.
That was solid there. Probably a lot better than whatever clunky idea I was going to come with. NHL free agency starts 1 week from today.
Today is also the first day that teams are allowed to talk to the potential to the UFAs.
Hooray for legal tampering!
Yep.
Am I doing this right?
That's actually what it is.
Yes. So, obviously the big fish, John Tavares. Jason Botchel saying publicly yesterday that the Sabres are not going to be in discussions with John Tavares.
Are you surprised by that?
No.
I'm a little bit. I figured they would have at least dipped their toe in.
I'm not, because that would have cost a lot of money.
No.
The Islanders offered $88 million
is that confirmed?
For 8 years.
Is that confirmed? That's the offer? Because I've also heard, I've basically heard the same thing as well. I know exactly where you probably got it from, but I'm suspecting it's probably somewhere between 10 and 11 million, probably closer to 11. But like I said, I would have at least thought that maybe he would have dipped his toe into the water. Just gave Tavares or his agent a call and say, who are you talking to? What's the offer? What are the Islanders offering? You know, what are you looking for? Something like that. Tavares probably could have said, yeah, I mean, if you give me $12 million for 7 years, I'll consider it. But and then Botchel will think about it, and then eventually, and then maybe even as soon as tomorrow, would probably say, you know what, we're not going to do it. Good luck. Good luck with what you do. I would have at least liked to have seen something like that. But then again, I'm also not surprised that he said no, because Tavares is going to cost a lot of money.
And there's where I think the reason is Jason Botchel is kind of backing down.
And I think it's fair. I think it would have been nice to at least see him at least gauge it.
But if there's only six teams that he's going to be listening to, one of them being the Islanders, are the Sabres really going to try to go all in if they don't believe in throwing that money down? No. And the Tavares camp will not listen to it. My question is going to be, who are the five?
Toronto
is obvious.
San Jose
is obvious. Vegas.
I've heard Dallas.
The Stars.
I've heard Dallas.
Sagan.
Possibly LA.
Sagan and Tavares.
Possibly LA, but I don't think LA is going to be it.
I think LA is signing Kovalchuk because they sense
they are
that they
signing.
Get...
They've already announced it.
Yes.
They're happening. So I don't think LA is going
to
be in it.
Yeah, they're thinking that maybe they didn't have a good chance at it, so they signed Ilya Kovalchuk to a 3-year deal.
Which honestly is better for them anyway.
By the way, I'm cool with that. Kovalchuk going out west.
Yeah.
The less that he can hurt me. I'm going to go ahead and accept that.
Yeah.
I like that idea. So Tavares is the first domino to fall, but then what does that mean for the Sabres? Because naturally, we are going to end up having the talking point of Ryan O'Reilly come back up. Once those five teams are announced that Tavares is going to talk to,
I don't know if they're actually going to be announced though.
Announced? No. Reported? Probably.
Reported, yes.
And found out? Definitely. Mackenzie, LeBrun, and the boys, they tend to get their job done pretty well.
They do.
They tend to get their work done pretty quick there.
Yeah.
So I think that the minute we find out the five teams, that's where the speculation gets to ramp back up on Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, once Tavares makes the decision, O'Reilly's value is going to go way up. And if you get an offer you like, then take it. But if not, then guess what? You're going to go into the regular season next year with Michael O'Reilly and Mittelstadt as your 1-2-3 centers.
Yeah, that's actually very
exciting.
Along
with Dahlin and Ristolainen.
There's so many worse ways to start a season than having those three as your center pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah, and whatever they do, you know, it's whatever they do. If they trade O'Reilly, I mean, no matter who they get back, they're going to downgrade at center.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd want to at least, so if they're going to, if O'Reilly's the guy they're moving, because there's been really nothing on Ristolainen, so I don't think he's going to get moved.
Nothing on Reinhardt, I'd imagine, either.
Nothing on Reinhardt as well. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked with Reinhardt. We were talking about him getting probably a bridge deal, like a 2 or 3 year deal. I wouldn't be surprised.
Botchell's sounding like that might not be the case.
Maybe a 5 year deal,
which might mean a decent cap hit for 5 years.
If you tell me,
because let's be real,
Reinhardt
hasn't put himself into a $5 or $6 million per season range yet, has he?
No. You might get. You could.
Botchell can get a deal.
Could
done.
You sign him 5 years, $20 million?
Huh.
That's $4 million a year.
Take it.
Yeah.
Take it to the bank.
Do it. It can happen. Okay. But you're going to downgrade at center no matter what. The best thing you want to do is soften the blow.
Exactly.
So that's why I've always been saying, if you're going to trade O'Reilly and you're not trading anyone else, you have to get a center back. You have to make sure that you can get a guy who can either be a low-end second line or high-end third line center at worst. Because you don't want to put Mittelstadt in a spot where he's not comfortable, where he's not going to succeed.
Exactly.
In the NHL. That's my biggest worry. People think he can just play the second line role right away. I don't think so. I think he's got to learn the NHL grind first. And the best way for a rookie center to do that is playing the third line spot. Because you're going to get good minutes on the third line. And with the way he plays, that brings depth to your team. That's going to help. That helps the player himself, and that helps the team. All you got to do is just add a couple decent wingers. And he'll be fine. But if you're going that route, then who's going to play that second line spot? You got a really good.
Thank you, Bergevin, for trading Galchenyuk.
Yeah.
A lot of these answers that I'm having in my head for everything you're saying, it's.
Yeah.
By the way, that trade though that happened. On the second day of the NHL draft.
Ah, yes, the
Carolina. Dougie Hamilton's been traded now for the second time before he's hit the age of 26.
Yeah.
Is that a little bizarre?
It's a little bizarre, but I think there's a lot of speculation that he might not be the best in the locker room.
Hmm.
Which might be it. But even so, I mean, he's still a heck of a player. He's a great defenseman.
Exactly.
Great, so, you know, puck mover. So I am surprised that he did get moved.
But the price
Calgary got a couple good players.
Carolina got a good prospect out of it, too, though.
And Adam Fox, yeah.
Yeah. But they trade Lindholm and Hanifin.
Lindholm, I'm not surprised, because there was the talks of Friday that they were trying to negotiate a contract, and it didn't go well.
Yep, and then
so that Hanifin's tells you was, right away that
Hanifin's
he was
name gonna, was kind of peppered in there.
Hanifin's name has been all around. I mean, the Sabres were linked to him, too, yeah. And Calgary had to give up a defenseman if they wanted Dougie Hamilton, so you give up a guy who needs a contract anyway. Both Lindholm and Hanifin are going to need contracts anyway from Calgary. They're both RFAs. Calgary get, you know, or Carolina gets Hamilton, who's on a long-term contract, and then you get a good prospect at NFX. You got to sign, but you got to. They're probably signing him next year. They're not signing him this year,
exactly,
because he's going back to Harvard for his junior year. They've already announced that.
Hmm.
And you get a depth guy in Michael Ferlin, who's one of those kind of glue players. You know,
yeah.
He's a big body. He could score goals. He scored 20 goals last season.
He was playing with the likes of Gaudreau Monahan and Gaudreau.
Yeah,
you better score 20 goals.
So
otherwise,
he's a guy,
you're not on that line.
He's a guy you could put up and down in your lineup. So we'll see what happens with that. I think I don't know. I really don't know who. I can't tell you who wins this trade. Immediately, I would probably say Calgary did.
Yes, because they're the one that got two roster players.
Not even they just got two good players.
In the balance of things, they're young players, and
you're also banking on Hanifin taking a step.
Yes.
That's what you're banking on. That.
I mean, the guy was a top five pick.
Yeah, but if he was, because of that too, why would you trade him if you're Carolina? Unless that there's
Dougie
something
Hamilton.
Up. But unless there's something up with that you know.
But getting Dougie Hamilton and Adam Fox is a pretty expensive get.
And, but now Carolina's banking that they can sign Adam Fox.
It's still an expensive get, I would say.
It's still a get. This is a trade that 3 years down the line can work out for both teams immensely. Immediately, I think Calgary wins the trade as long as they get both of those guys signed. Down the line, this is one where it could be a wash. And no, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just makes me think that there is a way for this to
it's
work.
Just that with my, it's
it was
just
a heck of a blockbuster, that's for sure.
It is. It's just that with Noah Hanifin, he's a 21-year-old defenseman coming off his first contract. Why are you trading him unless you know that there's something up with him? Unless you know there's something up with him. That was my biggest thing. Because if you tell me, would you rather have 21-year-old Dougie Hamilton or Noah Hanifin, or how old's Dougie Hamilton? Like 25,
I think, yes.
Or 25-year-old Dougie Hamilton, who's on a big contract.
But has also established himself in the NHL now for a while.
Right, but you also have a 21-year-old guy who really just needs to take that next step, and he would very likely would be better than Hamilton. That's kind of where I'm at. So I think that's why I don't know. But hey, trade happened. See how it goes.
All right, so
Carolina got a haul.
Free agency is coming up next week.
Before that, though.
Okay.
How about the trade that almost happened?
San Jose?
Pacioretty.
What is... San Jose is getting aggressive.
I tweeted when I saw that. When I saw that, I saw the thing of Pacioretty being traded to San Jose, and I immediately thought, San Jose is going to trade him and get more value than Montreal did. And then they announced he's not getting traded, and I just put in the...
So much for that. But no, that was very interesting to see that. But then Pacioretty gets a new agent as well, and it's just like, okay.
So the new Alan Walsh, actually.
So what's going on there, guys?
Alan Walsh probably saw the deal, and said no.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. I was just. hey, I don't understand it. And the Canadiens continue to derp things up.
Yeah.
And
San Jose almost got Pacioretty. Think about that.
But now here's another thing. Ready? The lack of deals. Now that you brought that up, the lack of deals. We didn't see Ryan O'Reilly get dealt. We didn't see Erik Karlsson get dealt.
Not surprised. I wasn't expecting you. I wasn't expecting Karlsson to get traded.
I mean, what's Ottawa going to do?
Karlsson is
deadline?
Karlsson's probably going to be a post-July 1st trade.
Okay.
If that happens. Or closer to training camp.
Dude, I'm kind of hoping Dorian derps it to the point where Karlsson walks away for nothing.
I highly doubt that'll
happen. It just screams like that kind of a situation to me.
It might. I don't know. I doubt it. I think if Karlsson gets traded, it's going to be before the season, before next season starts.
All right. So, free agency. Next week.
Yep.
Legal tampering starts now.
Yep.
Top wingers are looking like David Perron, Thomas Vanek, James Van Riemsdyk, Riley Nash, even a center winger kind of guy.
More of a center.
Michael Grabner.
Yeah.
Do you think the Sabres get any of these guys?
I would like to see them get Perron. We talked about this.
Yes. I kind of want to see the money that Riley Nash is going to command. Because he's a guy who could play center for you, too.
He's probably going to get...
Especially if there is an ROR trade.
He's probably going to get... I'm going to say somewhere between $2 and $3 million.
I would say that's a
fair price.
I
think he's a guy you stay away from.
Really?
I'm not Riley Nash guy. He's good, yes. I don't think he fits.
Okay.
I'm seeing something. I don't know. So it says this is what I'm reading. The Max Pacioretty to LA Kings trade, which apparently was a thing, died when Pacioretty refused to agree to a contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's the same thing with San Jose.
Hmm.
Or they misput LA and meant to put San Jose.
Either way, that's interesting, though.
Yeah.
He refused to take a new
contract. Pacioretty then mutually parted ways with agent Pat Brisson on the spot and before the end of the weekend, now represented by Alan Walsh.
Dang. That's cold.
Yeah.
He's just like, no, I'm not signing in LA.
LA's like, okay, we'll just sign Kovalchuk.
I think, well, yeah, and then the San Jose deal.
It must have been the same thing.
I'm going to guess the guy mistook it and was going to say San Jose instead of LA.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense that they would have signed Kovalchuk, then tried to trade for Pacioretty, because the timeline wouldn't make sense.
No.
Because they agreed to terms with Kovalchuk just as the second day was getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hearing rumbles about Pacioretty after the Dougie Hamilton trade.
Yeah.
Question for you.
What?
Would it sound stupid if Thomas Vanek once again doesn't get signed right away because he is 34? Would it sound stupid to pitch the idea of bringing Thomas Vanek back on a 1-year deal? Considering how many left wingers they don't have?
It depends on who else they sign. Because if you make enough moves to where you don't really need to sign Vanek, then you don't have to do it. But if it's something that I think if the Sabres want to bring in Vanek again, I don't think you do it just by signing him straight up to a 1-year deal. I think it's you sign him to a PTO closer to training camp.
Vanek last year, by the way, he made only $2 million.
Yeah. No, and Vanek, he can still play. That's the thing. But if you're trying to build a young, fast team, why are you signing a 34-year-old, not great skater? Yes, he could score, but
yes.
Why are you signing that kind of player? That's my biggest thing.
Yeah, like I said, I wanted to make sure.
Perron makes at least some sense because he's a good skater, and you got to add something to the wing. I would rather sign Perron to a 4-year deal than I would sign Thomas Vanek. because Perron also put up more can put up more points.
It is and just kind of funny that Vanek has put up over 40 points in, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Well, in the 4 seasons that he's been traded from Buffalo, he's put up at least 40 points per season.
Yeah.
And he put up over 60 in the year that he was dealt from Buffalo, and he put up 60 points between 3 different teams.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, he's still a good player.
Yeah, he still has it, and that's.
But I don't think the Sabres are looking for that kind of the way he plays.
Skates.
Yes,
and like I said, I needed to ask because of the fact that the guy still produces.
Yeah, he'll find a job. Scores. He'll find a job. He definitely will.
I mean, hey, he hasn't, despite his production level.
He's been signed to teams, to bad teams, and then traded at the deadline the last like 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
So he'll find a job.
All right, and now here's my last one for you. It's an interesting little question for you. I know he's going to command a lot less money than Paul Stastny, but in the event of a Ryan O'Reilly trade, would you hate the idea of throwing $4 million a year at Tyler Bozak?
At Bozak, it's not the worst.
And funny thing is,
but for how many years?
I would say maybe 3 years.
I don't know if he's going to want. I don't know if he's going to take.
He is 32.
This is true.
So it's not like time is necessarily on his side. He's not going to get a 5, 6, 7 year deal.
No, he's not. So 32. I don't think you want to go 3 years for Tyler Bozak at 32. I think ideally you want to try to get him for two years. If you can do that, I think you can talk me into it.
Yeah, because Bozak, strangely enough, one of his strengths is faceoffs.
It is. And he's good. He's good at faceoffs. He's one of those low end 2C and higher end, and probably mid to high end 3C.
And that's where I think things would come
so
in. Because if Ryan O'Reilly was traded.
I think you could do that.
If Ryan O'Reilly was traded, Tyler Bozak would be an ideal kind of fit to ease Mittelstadt into that 2C role. And it would allow you to get a guy who still is very good defensively responsible, still can run with the young kids, and can help you out in the circle where, without Ryan O'Reilly, the Sabres are in big trouble.
Yeah. So... We are
this is all obviously in the event of a Ryan O'Reilly trade that I'm even talking about the likes of.
Okay, so Tyler just Bozak. Some other stuff too. We saw today Nikita Soshnikov's re-signed with St. Louis. I was hoping he'd be a guy who the Sabres could make a target for should he have hit free agency, because I think he's a good depth winger. And a big body too. And he's young, but he's back in St. Louis. Paul Stastny, seeming like that he might return to Winnipeg.
He's going to cost a lot, I think.
He's going to cost a lot. But if he wants to return to Winnipeg, he might take lower money.
He might take lower money, but the guy still put up 53 points last year.
This is also from tweets from Andy Strickland, who is a St. Louis Blues ringside reporter for Fox Sports Midwest and 590 The Fan in St. Louis. He has also said Jeff Skinner is controlling where he will be traded to, because he said he's already turned down a few trades.
Yes. I suspect that there's a lot in play here. And I don't think, though, that the Sabres are going to be big players. I don't think they're going to be in on the likes of a David Perron or a James Van Riemsdyk or even the likes of a James Neal.
I think Perron just screams a value signing.
He screams value signing, but here's the problem in free agency. All it takes is one general manager to blow the doors off with a 5-year deal
listen,
for a 30-year-old.
Hey, listen. Batra can tell Perron, hey, we'll offer you 4 years, and we'll give you like 4.5, 5 per year. And then Perron could be like, I like that. I'll do it. And then another general manager comes around, hey, we'll give you 6 years. It's $6 million. Then Perron's going to be like, take him. Like, Batra will be like, all right, fine. I mean, that general manager just made a dumb move.
Because
is it bad because Boucher didn't get a guy? Yeah, but you're not the GM who's making that dumb move.
I don't even know if I want to throw that money at David Perron.
You gotta sign someone.
You gotta sign someone, and I agree with that. But that's a lot of money for a guy who really has not been consistent throughout his entire career. He's shed the injury bug, but he he's just kind of a guy for me. And I don't want to necessarily throw $5 million at a guy who's just a guy.
Considering the cap just went up 4.5?
Even so. That's not knowing value, I think. I would suspect that it's more or less... The guy's kind of middling. Before this year, he eclipsed 50 points just once, and that was back in 2013-14. That was the only time that he got past 50 points in his entire career, and then last year happened.
That's true, yeah.
I don't like the guy as a player that I would want to put $5 million into. The more that I see it, the less I'm thinking that it's a good idea.
And then who do you
because
sign?
Then you've seen Perron get scratched sometimes in the playoffs for Vegas too.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, come on.
So then, but okay. So
and not to mention the he Sabres disappeared in the Stanley Cup Final.
Well, so did the whole team.
First line was still hanging around, and the fourth line showed up. Yeah, the second and third line, outside of James Neal scoring a goal, did nothing.
Okay, so if you don't like the idea of signing David Perron, you got to sign at least one guy. Who is it? Who do you go for?
Michael Grabner.
Maybe. Depends on...
Grabner's going to come in at a far less cap hit.
See, I'm not worried about the money.
And even if you throw it in similar term, you're looking at a guy who could still at least put pucks in the net for you.
Yeah, he did score 27 goals last season, but he had, like, what, 2 assists?
25 goals and only 6 assists last year.
6 assists.
27 goals the year before. So he's kind of got this strange goal-scoring prowess.
No, he just puts the puck in the net and he doesn't pass.
Well, more or less, it's also about pretty much what he does. But he also does this. He's also been doing this the last 2 seasons without time on the power play, which is a little interesting to me.
Grabner would be interesting.
Grabner, I'm not throwing more than $3 million at, though.
I think Grabner's very interesting.
Grabner's someone I would throw maybe $3 million at for 2 years.
I think that's something you could do. How old is he? He's 30. I think that's something you could do.
Perron is a guy I could see getting 3+ years. Grabner, I don't see that kind of long term. And if someone signs him to that term, well, that's their problem.
Okay, Grabner's interesting. Grabner's an interesting one.
Because he can fill into your top 6, but mostly play your bottom 6. And the Sabres need that. Finally, I've got one more thing for you.
What's that?
It's put up or shut up time for Alex Nylander. I've not been that kind of guy that says trade Alex Nylander. I've not been a guy that says give up on him. He's a bust. However, this is it, I think, for him. This is it. There's no turning back here.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't crack the roster now, when are you going to become a Buffalo Sabre?
Yeah.
And the answer for me is, I don't think he is. Because at that point, the Sabres move him Mikhail Grigorenko style. And you get...
You might have to.
And you get pennies on the dollar for him. And then maybe he turns into a better player. But it just wouldn't be here.
Right.
I'm suspecting the Sabres, if they're going to make their move for a winger, it's going to be in the trade market. It's not going to be in free agency. They'll sign a guy for their bottom 6. I don't think they're going for a guy in their top 6. I think Grabner's kind of like that Benoit Pouliot signing for your bottom 6, a guy who can do your penalty killing, a guy who could try to get you some depth scoring. He's got a little bit better of a track record.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't suspect that this team's going to go bonkers on trying to sign someone.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to throw a lot of money around.
Okay. I can see that. I mean, I don't really think they're going to do anything big.
And like you said, they do have to sign someone, but at the same time, what can they really do right now for me?
Yeah.
And that's really all it comes down to. Yeah, that's it for me. I think that really, free agency, I'm not going to get too excited.
It's silly season.
It's silly season, but at the same time, I'm not going to get too. I'm not going to get excited about free agency in itself. I'm going to get excited about when does John Tavares make his decision? Do they agree to terms before July 1st? If that's the case, Sabres really have a good chance here then. If they absorb the cap hit for this season, though, for O'Reilly, that still has good value for O'Reilly.
Well, they're not absorbing the cap hit if they trade him.
Post-July 1st?
That's the signing bonus.
Oh, okay. So the Sabres would eat the signing bonus.
Same as the Sabres? So
that would still, still be valuable for teams not having to pay that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because here's the thing. O'Reilly is due $6.5 million signing bonus on July 1st, which means his salary for the season is only $1 million. So if the Sabres trade O'Reilly after July 1st, the team that's getting O'Reilly only has to pay him $1 million for the season.
Right.
His cap hit remains the same for the team he's being traded to at 7.5.
Okay.
The cap hit always stays the same, but it's a matter of what their salary is compared to their signing bonus. And this season, I believe it's 6.5 signing bonus, $1 million salary.
Yo, is some team really going to hand Jack Johnson that much money?
Montreal.
Please.
Montreal. It's happening. No. Oh, yeah, that's totally going to be a thing. Montreal's going to sign Jack Johnson like a 3-year deal and give him like $5 million. Maybe four.
If they do that.
I think they're going to do it.
Oh, my God. Please. Montreal,
they're going to do it.
Please. Please, make my day. Go ahead, Montreal. But Jack Johnson is going to... By the way, what? Darren Dreger just saying right now, strong interest in Tyler Bozak with the interview period now open.
Yep, I saw that.
Leafs are still involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, I think that we have... we've got a chance to really see what the Sabres can do in the trade market here. And again, it takes Botterill a wow offer to get rid of Ryan O'Reilly. It's something that every one of us has been saying. We don't want to just willy-nilly trade Ryan O'Reilly, especially we don't care about the comments that he said, because it's human to be demoralized by losing.
If O'Reilly gets traded, who do you think he gets dealt to?
At this point,
I don't think it's Montreal.
It's not Montreal.
Don't think so. I don't think it's Carolina.
No, Carolina doesn't seem like they want O'Reilly necessarily. And I think they made their deal.
Yeah. St. Louis?
St. Louis has been a team that has been mentioned.
Philly's been mentioned too.
Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. That would be interesting. Philly's got some pieces.
Yeah.
Philly's got some nice young pieces.
Yep.
I would like to see that kind of thing develop.
Travis Sanheim. Get picks. Morgan Frost. I like Morgan Frost as a prospect.
You can even get a roster player out of Philly. A player to fill in now.
Could you imagine if they get Wayne Simmons? Because Philly was also potentially looking to trade him.
Yeah.
The thing is, you would also have to try to sign him because he's a free agent next year. So if you could do that. Ooh. I love St. Louis as an option because I really like Jordan Kyrou as a prospect.
Yes.
Love to see that.
We mentioned Kyrou before.
Yeah. Now, with the draft, Ottawa used their fourth pick.
Yes.
They took Brady Tkachuk.
Oh, boy.
That's fine. Whatever. Okay. They took Brady Tkachuk. He's good. It's a good pick. Now, they're giving Colorado next year's first-round pick, and it's unprotected.
Yep.
And they're probably going to be really bad.
Oh, yeah. They're probably going to be, especially if they deal Carlson.
So that's where my question comes in. If they get multiple first-round picks for Carlson, along with any other prospects that they can get, whatever they get for Carlson, as long as they get at least one first-round pick in 2019. They could get a first-round pick in 2019 and a first-round pick in 2020. And then whatever else they get for Carlson. Does that soften the blow potentially giving up the first overall pick next year?
Now, if you can't deal Carlson and he doesn't re-sign and you don't have your lottery pick,
you're just fired on the spot.
You're done. It's Pierre Dorian's
done. But that's why I ask. You trade Carlson.
Absolutely,
you get
softens the blow.
How much? Remember, this is your potential, and this is also potentially giving up. Let's say it does end up being the first overall pick, and Colorado gets Jack Hughes.
That hurts, of course.
How much does it soften the blow, though?
That answer becomes, that's dependent on Brady Tkachuk.
Is it more dependent on Brady Tkachuk, or is it more dependent on the players you get?
It softens the blow, but at the end of the day, it's going to have to be Brady Tkachuk versus Jack Hughes for Ottawa for that specific thing. If they don't trade Carlson and he walks away for nothing, there's nothing Brady Tkachuk can go ahead and do to go ahead and replace the lull fest that Pierre Dorion has put on.
Oh, yeah.
It softens the blow. Because Ottawa's expected to be bad even with Carlson this year. If you get the haul you need to for Erik Karlsson, it helps. If you can get an elite prospect for him, it helps. Vegas said they don't want to deal Glass in order to try to acquire Karlsson. That's why talks broke down.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get that kind of prospect, though, for him from some team, it softens the blow. Get that kind of prospect in a first, Pierre Dorion did his job. Anything else is bonus at that point.
Okay.
But they gave up a lot for Matt Duchene, who is the other factor in this trade.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So Tkachuk is going to have to soften the blow. Duchene has to play like the guy that they traded for.
Or they have to get something good for him.
Exactly.
Because he's a free agent next year, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Forget the Carlson thing. If Duchene walks,
That's bad.
That's egregious asset management.
So,
right there.
David Pignota at the fourth period on Twitter.
Yep.
You saw stuff with him.
He's been busy.
Vegas and San Jose are two of the five teams. We know that. The other three teams are being speculated. We think it has to be Toronto. We've heard Dallas as an option. We don't know who that fifth team is. Maybe that fifth team is the Islanders. Maybe they're counting that. We don't know. But yeah, he's the one that said the Islanders having half of 8 years, 11 per.
Right.
All five teams will meet with Tavares in L.A. starting tomorrow through Tuesday or Wednesday.
So it's going to be reported who the teams are before July 1st.
Yeah.
Jackpot. If O'Reilly's going to get dealt, it's going to be one of those teams that was spurned at the altar.
He has this, too, on the Sharks. San Jose fully intends to re-sign Joe Thornton. The feeling's mutual. He wants to stay in San Jose.
And
San Jose wants him to stay.
And Thornton,
if they sign Tavares, it doesn't change what Thornton does. That's where it's interesting.
Buffalo, you need to trade that San Jose pick yesterday.
No, keep it.
It's pick number 31.
Who cares? It's another pick.
If you can get something for it now, before it turns into pick 31, good idea.
Hey, if it becomes pick 31, then it's pick 31. But if next year's draft class is good, that's a valuable pick.
I know, but if you can get something better for that right now, just trade it yesterday.
You know what? Maybe they will.
They might need to trade that thing yesterday because San Jose might be so stacked it turns into a second rounder.
Yeah. He also talked about teams calling Detroit about Jimmy Howard, Ottawa, Craig Anderson. And Calvin DeHaan has received significant interest from upwards of 10 teams so far. He's a free agent July 1st as well.
Right.
Defenseman.
DeHaan.
From the Islanders.
12 points in 33 games.
He was hurt, but...
And him being hurt probably was one of the reasons that the Islanders were a tire fire defensively.
Yeah.
But remember this. They didn't protect him at the expansion draft, and Vegas didn't take him.
Yeah, because Vegas was given a first-round pick him.
That's right. But why not protect him? They protected four defensemen Granted, you had to with Letty and with
Boychuk.
Boychuk, but they protected two others that I'm like, why didn't they keep DeHaan over them?
Didn't they still have Hamonic?
No.
Was he already gone?
Yeah, Hamonic.
Was he already gone by then?
Point. Yeah.
Hmm.
I think Hickey was the other one.
Why?
Exactly. But now Garth Snow doesn't have a job, so.
Yeah, it's true.
But that makes a lot of sense, though, with DeHaan getting some interest.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I'm going to take a quick look, if I can. Let's see here. Yeah, the Islanders protected five defensemen.
And none of them was DeHaan.
Hamonic was a part of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was more draft. I think it was a draft trade.
Yep.
They protected Ladd, Tavares, Anders Lee, Boychuk, Letty, Hamonic, Adam Pouch, which is the weird one, Ryan Pulock, and Thomas Greiss.
Sure. That's why they had to give up a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Not just because of that, because that also avoids them from having to take guys like Brock Nelson or
sure.
their other talented forwards that they had.
Sure.
Nice job.
Nice. Now they're going to lose DeHaan for nothing.
Well, you can't blame Lou Lamb on that one.
No. You really can't. I mean...
By the way, Thornton last year, 36 points in 47 games.
Yeah,
dealing
he was good.
With injury.
Yeah, even with a blown out knee.
And he even said publicly he would take the vet minimum.
Yeah. Which this year it's $650,000.
Huh. It's not even $1 million.
No.
Good Lord. That would be troubling.
And San Jose does that, and they sign
and they land Tavares.
If they land Tavares too, and they have Evander Kane.
You need to trade that pick yesterday. I'm serious. But yeah, it's going to be fun to see what happens. And
silly season.
Part of it, again, is the fact that
it's silly season.
There is a trade market behind it as well.
Yeah.
That is where I'm most interested. That's where I'm locked into more so than free agency in itself. I need to see the ripple effects of free agency before I go ahead and say, all right, Sabres, get me something.
Yeah. That's true.
Because I know you can't throw the same roster out next year and expect fans to support it.
Just add Darlene to it.
Yeah, though that is a good addition.
Yeah.
They've made some moves defensively to revamp the core. You have too many defensemen now. What are you going to do about it?
I can't believe that's a thing now. Sabres have too many defensemen. Remember last year when they didn't have enough?
Yeah. But now they go ahead and restructure everything. Will Antipin get an RFA deal, a qualifying offer for Monday?
I think the qualifying offers have to be submitted by tomorrow.
Yes, they do. And they will be announced in a statement publicly, according to
Probably
Bottrell.
Tomorrow.
According to Bottrell, they'll have it all out there.
Good.
In one statement, just done. All these players were the ones that were offered.
I expect that. That's what I expected. The only guy who we know is not getting a QO is Leonard.
So let's talk about that.
I'm not surprised. That's all I got to say.
I'm not surprised either. I'm a bit disappointed that that came out. I had said that on the nightcap when it happened,
mm-hmm.
which was I'm disappointed that it got leaked because you could have tried to throw Leonard's rights to someone for like next year's
sixth round obviously
pick.
That obviously tells me that no team wanted to do it. Because I think the reason is because his perception around the league is that he's a backup. So why would you give up a draft pick to try and sign a backup who probably wants starter money?
Yeah. I mean, you could have looked
Bacho
at some,
Pro, I bet you that's the
You could
reason.
Have looked at some goalie starving teams. Damn it, Garth Snow, why'd you have to get fired?
Yes, but I don't think that. Because remember, he's already throwing money at Thomas Greiss.
My chair is talking.
It is talking. So.
But yeah, no, that must show you the perception about Robin Leonard. There is no framework for a trade. There was no way to get rid of him and get something back for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it publicly the day of the first round that that's what was going to happen. They're moving in a different direction.
That's fair. And that's fair.
And the price that it cost Tim Murray was a first-round pick that it could have been Colin White. It could have been Brock Besser.
Yeah.
It could have been Travis Konecny.
Sure.
It could have been Ilya Samsonov.
Samsonov, yes. But, I mean, what would you have done at goalie had you had done that? I mean, that'd be my argument because they would have only had Chad Johnson.
You could have given up not a first-round pick. Could you give up a second-round pick, maybe?
I don't really blame Murray as much for the trade because you had to give up something to get a goaltender. They needed to trade for a goalie.
It was still very irresponsible, I think, at the end of the day.
It's a first-round pick.
For a goalie
It's a first-round pick. I get it.
And I get but being once Captain again, Hindsight.
You had to do something. And you had
strong,
to do something.
It was a strong draft class. You knew that.
But you already got your guy in Eichel.
I know, but you could have had a second first-round pick because you traded one for the Evander Kane deal.
Yeah.
You managed to not give a first-rounder for Ryan O'Reilly.
It's true. It was the first pick in the second round.
Giving up even all of that. And again, in a deep draft class.
It's fair. It's fair to say that. It's fair to say that I just think you had to do something.
It just doesn't surprise me why.
Maybe there was a bidding war for Leonard at the time.
I'm just saying, if he got fleeced by Pierre Dorion.
Well, he didn't. I don't think Dorion was GM at the time. I think it was still his uncle.
Oh, okay. Makes enough sense then.
So I think Brian Murray was still GM and he retired after the following season.
Oh, so he rips off his nephew and then rides off into the sunset. Is that what you're telling me?
No, like he was GM in 15-16. And then summer of 16, he stepped down and Dorion took over.
Fair enough. But again, the Robin Leonard thing, it doesn't shock me. It was... The guy is just too aggressive of a goaltender. Playing style-wise,
mm-hmm.
You would see it. And yet, at the same time, someone who was so aggressive would give in so many of those plays where he's not hugging the post. You know, there was just enough errors there. You could easily see why Buffalo's moving on from this. And again, they are walking away from an RFA deal where they had his rights still.
Yeah.
Instead of... And again, it goes all the way to that after giving up a first-round pick for him.
Yeah.
And yes, the players that could have been had. Would they have guaranteed drafting those players? No.
No.
But I also think it was one of the biggest reasons that Tim Murray failed, which was lack of value or knowing what value was.
Oh, yeah.
It was his biggest example, and now it goes down probably as his most egregious because now after 3 years, they are walking away from him for nothing. And they had a chance to at least retain his rights and get something for him, and they got nothing. It goes to show that, yes, you do need a quality goaltender in this league.
You don't need a superstar goalie.
You don't need a superstar goalie.
You just need an average
quality goaltending.
You just need at least a little above average. And
Leonard
brought that. Leonard brought that for
1 year,
at least a year and a half.
For 1 year, he did bring that. But it was so ominous how that deal went down. They gave up the first round pick.
I think the problem.
Within the first 7 minutes of the first game, he gets injured. I don't know if that was a sign of things to come. But dang it, was ominous.
It's definitely not a sign of things. It definitely wasn't a sign of things to come. There's no way.
It was definitely ominous.
You can't prevent injuries.
Yes, but it was just one of those things where you're just like,
of course. It's just like, of course.
Of course this would happen.
No, I mean, it would have been worse had Eichel gotten hurt the first game. Then it would have been like, oh, great.
Well, that happened this second season.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, you know. No, but... I understand why he made the move. He needed a goalie. Here's the thing. If you look at the free agent market for goaltenders that year, it was terrible.
Yes.
Because guess who were guys who were signed? A couple former Sabres and Andres Lindbäck and Michael Neuwirth.
Yep.
Guys like Kari Rammo, not in the league anymore. Thomas Greiss, still with the Islanders. And that's about it. The trade market, I think, was the only.
Edmonton give up a second for.
It was a second, but they gave up Cam like Talbot. Three draft picks for him.
Right.
It was like three picks.
Antti Raanta wasn't acquired on the.
No, Antti Raanta wasn't traded. That was last year.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
Raanta, I think, was still in Chicago at the time, but or maybe with the Rangers. Maybe he was. I don't know. I don't know where Raanta was, but
I think it was
Talbot was the top two trade market goalies was Leonard and Talbot, and by the, I think Talbot was moved the day before, so Leonard was really the only guy.
I just saw it was it just looked like a sense of desperation, and not just desperation, but he wanted his guy from Ottawa, and he was willing to pay whatever price had to be asked for him.
Honestly, like I said,
even though the organization,
whatever it,
again, it goes down though as the most egregious offense of one of Tim Murray's biggest weaknesses, which was not getting your correct value for players. It was something, strangely enough, that Darcy Regier was great at.
Yeah,
perceived value, and that was one of the reasons the guy stayed around for so long.
Yeah,
Regier's biggest weakness was having too much faith in the core that he brought in.
Right.
He was hamstrung a lot, but then when free agency opened, he made a couple of albatross deals that were a bad thing. And then, again, the too much faith in his own core, Cody Hodgson got a big deal.
Ennis,
which Botcher was able to get out.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at other trades, by the way, and trying to find the goalies involved. So you have Leonard. Martin Jones was the San Jose starter.
Who?
I get it.
There you go.
Okay.
So Martin Jones, he was traded.
That was a weird thing too. He was the Lucic trade.
Oh, that's right.
But that was the weird thing because San Jose wanted to trade for Martin Jones when he was with L.A. But
and
L.A. didn't want to trade within the division,
and LA's like, no,
just like the Hoffman trade. So L.A. traded him to Boston, got Martin, or L.A., no, so, yeah, so L.A. traded him, Colin Miller, and a first-round pick to Boston and got Milan Lucic.
Right.
And then Boston traded Jones to San Jose and got a first-round pick.
So either way, Jones still got a first-round pick for someone.
And yet nobody talks about that trade just because San Jose was a good team. And Jones is not a superstar goalie. He's probably above average.
Yeah.
And no one talks about that being a bad trade because they got to the final.
But it's funny enough that no one talked about it being a bad trade, and they talked about Leonard being a bad trade because
one team is good, the other team stinks.
But also one player was proven. Martin Jones showed in L.A. that he could be a goaltender that would start in this league.
Well, Leonard did, too, in Ottawa.
It wasn't nearly as known.
I think Jones' sample size may have been a little bit more.
Jones had more sample size.
But it wasn't much, because Leonard had a couple years. And he had playoff experience, too, because he played in the playoffs in the lockout shortened year, some of it, because Anderson got hurt.
Yep.
And he looked good again. And he actually kept Ottawa in the series against Pittsburgh. That was the year Pittsburgh got swept by Boston in the conference final.
Yep.
So other trades, I mean, you have Vancouver trading Eddie Lack to Carolina, got a couple draft picks, a third and a seventh. San Jose, because they were getting Martin Jones, traded Niemi, and Niemi was a free agent anyway. Khudobin got traded, and that was for like these are all guaranteed backup goalies. So Boston got Sean Curley as well in that Jones trade, who's also on the team right now.
Yep.
Yeah, Edmonton traded a second, a third, and a seventh for Talbot and another seventh. So it's value's weird.
That was good value. Actually.
That value's weird. Value's so weird
in
the NHL. It really is.
But now you see, though, that the Sabres, they're walking away from this guy for nothing.
Yeah.
And it hurts to see that trade happen all over again because, well, what could have been with the guy.
It's more of what could have been if they actually had a team.
I won't disagree with that, but I think the team on paper was a little bit better than last year's standings would say.
Oh, yeah.
But when you have a goaltender that's starting playing on the below the league average, and then Chad Johnson really playing below the league average for a while.
And injuries.
Then you get the problems.
Yeah.
Because there's no way around it. Chad Johnson struggled last year. That's why they're not bringing him back. And Robin Leonard struggled last year, and they're not bringing him back.
Mm-hmm. We know Ullmark's going to be up.
Ullmark's going to be up, and there's the question of the day. They need another goalie. Do they go Bernier? Do they go Carter Hutton? Do they go... There's a lot of different routes that they can go with this for the Sabres in free agency.
So
that is where you're going to see a deal made.
So speaking of Carter Hutton, Pierre LeBrun just tweeted this about 10 minutes ago. Carter Hutton's camp has heard from about 8 teams today.
Okay. That's
so we'll see if Buffalo might be... We'll see. Maybe Buffalo could be one of them. I think Hutton would be a guy that they would target because I don't think they're going to go for... I think they're going to go for trying to have a 1A, 1B. Hutton or Bernier makes sense.
Hutton's going to... I think Hutton's going to get some money.
I don't think so.
The dude did rock.
I think you could sign him for 1 year.
It might
maybe
be,
two.
He's
at
definitely
going to... At most, $2
million. He's definitely going to get a raise from his $1 million base salary.
He might get beat 1.5. That's
because
not a lot.
The man did put up a .931 save percentage in 32 games.
He started to push Allen, and he did a little bit of pushing on Pecorino when he was in Nashville.
Exactly.
So would you sign him 2 years at like 1.5 to 2 million?
Absolutely.
All right, there you go.
I think that's great value.
I think that's what'll happen.
I'm worried with 8 teams being involved that's not going to be the cost.
I don't think any team is going to look at Hutton as a starter though. I think they're all going to sign him to be a backup.
Right.
So he's not going to get a lot of money. Most teams are probably going to offer him $1 million because it's usually what backups get in the open market.
I have to forget that the Islanders aren't under the direction of Garth Snow anymore.
This is true.
I have to remind myself of that. Because the Islanders absolutely would
have
done
something. Plus, the Islanders are also more being linked to guys like Jimmy Howard and Craig Anderson, not Carter Hutton. We don't know. Maybe the Islanders are linked to Carter Hutton. They're one of the 8 teams. But we don't know that. We'll find out.
What about Harry Sateri?
Who?
Harry Sateri. Played for Florida in 9 games last year.
He's not that good.
I just wanted your opinion. I see the name floating around here on the free agent list. I'm like,
he's
hey,
not that good. No.
What is this
he's
guy?
He's an A. You know what? You might sign him to be in the Rochester.
Because he only has 9 games of NHL experience on him.
You probably sign him. How old is he?
29.
You probably sign him to start
28, excuse me.
You probably sign him to start in Rochester.
Yeah, they do need another one of those goalies. Because Bochel said that they need one for the NHL and one for the AHL.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting.
You got Jonas Johansson, who might be in Rochester next season.
Yes.
We don't know what's going to happen with UPL, with Lukanen. We don't know. I've seen 2 different things where he might go back to Finland or he might make Rochester. So we'll see which route they go by. And I think maybe
it is confirmed the second team officially talking to Tavares is San Jose.
So Vegas and San Jose. We know those are the 2. We know those are 2.
Oh, God.
Who are the other 3? Toronto, I think, is 1.
Probably.
Dallas has to be 1 because they've been talked about it. Who's that 5th team that's not the Islanders? Who is it? That 5th team might be the team that signs them if it's not the Islanders.
Yep.
Watch it happen. It's silly season.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's silly season. Let the games begin.
Yeah.
This has been the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
Thanks for listening, as always. And you know what they say. Don't get too mad about trading a 6th round pick for next year's 6th round pick.